Chapter 7 Salvation and Redemption from Sin. Before continuing our explanation of the Pymander of Hermes Trismegistus, we deem it desirable to deal with the details concerning the consequences for those who really desire to go the path of deliverance. As an introduction to our reflection, we refer you to John 15:9-17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another. We once again examine the image which arises from the part of the Pymander that we have already discussed. Firstly, we see the heavenly man in all his glory. Secondly, how the heavenly man has merged with dialectics. And thirdly, how seven races come into being out of heavenly mankind, which could rightly be called the populators of the dialectical universe. Finally, we can establish that all the inhabitants of the planet, in their various shapes and states of being, are formed out of the sub-races of these original seven races. And in other words, the original heavenly principle was ever more divided into all these myriad entities. This division continued until a certain moment when only one seed kernel of the original glory of God's children was present in those countless entities. All of us form a part of the host of those who carry only one seed kernel of the original nature. A still deeper descent into dialectics and, as a consequence, a still greater differentiation of the seed of the light is impossible. The spirit cannot possibly differentiate and radiate when the possessor of the spirit is ignorant of it. Countless human beings who carry within them the seed kernel Jesu, the proto-atom, are not conscious of this fact. The proto-atom is then sunken in them in a latent form, powerless to divide itself more. Furthermore, all microcosms, differentiated as they are out of the original seven root races, should remain expressions of the formula of the original dialectical nature from which they have emanated, if they are to maintain themselves according to their nature. This will be the case with billions of entities in which the seed kernel is latent as long as they are in equilibrium with the nadir of dialectical law. To say it differently, the proto-atom will remain present in the mathematical center of the microcosm as long as the microcosm, tied to nature, is in equilibrium with the law of nature. If the life conduct of any entity sinks below the law of matter, then according to the corroding processes of fate, the microcosm is decomposed and falls apart into the elements of matter. Then not only the personality dies, but also the microcosm which encloses it. Then the microcosm has become powerless to affect matter and to free itself from it. The seed kernel of the original light has no residence any longer and returns, unrevealed, to its origin. Therefore, the microcosm can descend to the nadir of dialectics, but if this is not followed by an ascent, the microcosm will remain subjected for an incomprehensibly long time to the laws of transitoriness in a continually repeating vivification of the personality. One could call this situation the state of neutrality. Should the microcosm fall below the law of matter, it would be decomposed matter returns to matter, and the principle of light to the light. This is the state of destruction. The third possibility is deliverance, to begin at the nadir with the homeward journey to the original fatherland. The spiritual school of the Golden Rosicross invites you to make this homeward journey. As a microcosm, you have perhaps been in the state of neutrality for eons because you have not been conscious of possessing the light principle. Because of the touch of the school, the light principle can now awaken in you and make itself felt in your life. As a consequence, you are advised to make it superior to everything in your life and to give dialectics a second place. To this end, the purification of the heart is conditional. The heart sanctuary should be completely emptied of desire, the alarming degeneration to which it has been subjected during countless lives. When you proceed to purification of the heart, the light principle becomes alive in you, and it even comes to meet Pimanda. When you offer it a pure sanctuary, it can also be active in the service of your fellow men. If the light principle is latent asleep within you, you certainly will be able to dedicate yourself to the service of your fellow man on a humanistic level, in a dialectical way, but as a child of God, you are able to express yourself only when the light principle in you has awakened and is able to radiate. Just think of those who have propelled the light principle into activity and who, in a Gnostic sense, exist in the purity of heart. When children are born into the families of such people, then out of the purity of the parents' hearts, the light principle is also ignited in their children. So merely by your life conduct, you prepare a place in the gnosis for your children, even before their birth. If the light has awakened in someone, such a one can be active in the service of everyone. Therefore, the third state, that of salvation, is of a very special nature. It is the beginning of the homeward journey to the fatherland of the origin. It will lead to complete liberation, to separation from matter, to becoming essentially bodiless, to entering the fields of the spirit, as is the case with the Pimandric man. However, before this final stage is reached, man has to work with matter in several states of being. The light principle that will be wrapped in ever-refined material vehicles will have to go the way back through matter. When we speak of the golden wedding garment and invite you to weave it, this refers to a vehicle that, compared to our present garment, our present personality, is of infinite refinement. Enfolding in ever more refined material vehicles, the entities will go through all the original sub-races and root races, possessing ever greater glory. And what a great wonder will finally occur. Just try to imagine this. The original guilt caused by the mistake and the fall of a number of heavenly beings will be expiated because a countless host will enlarge their numbers. For even if a small spark of light is present in a human being, one seed kernel of the original light, it can develop into a deity according to the laws of the spirit. Therefore, because of the fall and the mistake of a number of heavenly beings, God's people will be extended to a numberless armada. Heavenly men risen out of the depth of death, divine men generated from the countless seed kernels of light, which in primeval times were scattered over and bound to the fields of matter. In such a way, guilt becomes penance. Penance is transformed into a blessing, blessing into growth, and growth into harvest. In such a way, even from the depths of hell, the victory of love is fought. He who is able to understand, let him understand. Serious seekers, brothers and sisters, whoever you are, become conscious of the possession of the seed kernel of the original nature.